We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we're for the people of Missouri. We're for brewmasters, stockbrokers, beauty queens, and truck drivers. Whatever you do, if you're a Missourian, we're for you. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered.
Every once in a while, we have to bring out the big dog.
Yeah.
Oh, God help us. It's time for Danny Unleashed. Sponsored by Easton Roofing, where integrity matters. Go to EastonRoofing.com for more.
You're in the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Where's my show sheet?
A little late to be looking for your show sheet.
Yeah, you probably should check things
out. Well, you were actually doing work during the break.
I did some.
And sucking down that nano hemp oil, too.
I did do that.
I am, too.
Sparkling watermelon juice with strawberry lime. You can try that.
Same flavor.
Nano hemp oil. And the sparkling coconut water with grapefruit. You can try that one as well. Which one do you like? You this one?
I got the watermelon.
Yeah, got the watermelon. Good job. Mm-hmm. Good job out of you, Danny.
I did.
I'm proud of you. You know, Danny Klingskill is with us. He's brought to you by our friends at Easton Roofing. Great, great company. You know, integrity matters, Danny.
It does.
It certainly does when it comes
it
to
my world, anyway.
Putting a roof over your family's head, and Easton Roofing does that better than anyone in the city. Four straight years voted best of houses. Angie's List Super Service Award winner. Check out their Google reviews. You'll see how happy customers are that they had Easton Roofing put the roof over their family's heads. I know I am happy that Easton Roofing is up on my roof. Check it out right now online at EastonRoofing.com. Pay nothing until you're 100% satisfied. They take credit cards and PayPal. Great, great place to go. When you need any kind of repairs, yes, they do repairs. Many roofing companies won't. Or a new roof, let Joe and his great, great crew at Easton Roofing put the roof over your head the way they have at my house and at Danny's house.
Mm-hmm.
Danny Klingskill is here. We unleash Danny.
Yes, you do.
Let's talk Astros, Danny. Was not on my list to chat with you about that, but then you sat down and said, you know, I've had about enough of this. I think this is interesting because we were just in surprise.
Right.
And asking questions of the Royals. And Todd was asking the questions, and I think they're questions that needed to be asked. And they are tired of answering them.
Right.
But
I think they made their statements, and they're strong statements, and they're worthy statements. I'm not here to absolve the Astros of blame. There is shame, there is taint on their 2017 championship. It was something they absolutely shouldn't have done. They likely didn't need to do it. They won more games on the road that year. Jose Altuve, who by most accounts didn't take part in the scheme, hit 381 on the road that year, his MVP year. So any of this talk about him stealing the MVP is garbage.
I can't go that far. I can't take anyone in an organization who has trampled all over all rules and has clearly violated them and say, oh, but they're honest and sincere about Jose Altuve. Screw you, that's tainted too.
I'll accept that.
Okay.
I'll accept that. There's a lot of, you know, this is the wrong way to use this word, but it's in this context, so we can. There's a lot of taint to go around here. All right? Plenty, okay? But a point that I have not seen made by anyone, and anybody's read a blog I've done or listened to Danny's Monday musings that I do on Mondays now at my podcast, has heard me say, but I don't think anybody else has said it. And if somebody else has said it, then I missed it. The point of giving signs is deception. People are trying to steal your signs all the time.
Right.
Now, the Astros did it in an illegal way. They're getting punished. They're getting abused. They deserve it. They deserve it.
You haven't heard me because I think where you're going. I think this is being blown out of proportion because I think – for me, it's not as big a deal as everybody else is making it because – I don't see where using the video cameras really changes much more than standing on second base.
I agree. First of all, they had to crack the code, as it were. Okay,
right.
So they, and you didn't do your job. What are they all saying now? Word was around, it was common knowledge around baseball, right, what the Astros were doing. Well, do something about it. You failed. You freaking failed. Why do third base coaches tug on their ear and poke their nose? And why does Salvador Perez flash his fingers like he's trying to deal blackjack? Because he just doesn't slap a one down there for a fastball and two for a curve and three for an off-speed pitch. So do better. So the Astros should not be absolved of this. They take until about the last few days, I think they've taken the proper share of abuse. They should be castigated, and then they handled the situation afterwards, subsequently to this point, abhorrently.
And the organization, apparently,
by all accounts, is just an absolute spit show of arrogance and deception and bad treatment of women and everything else. The lovable bunch on the field, which is the shame of it, because I think most people around baseball kind of like the Astros, even if they played against them. Or there are fans of other teams that are like, well, look at them. They have fun playing baseball. Aren't they cute? Their best player is 2 feet tall. And all that's washed away, and in large part it should be. But give it a rest. They didn't win the World Series just because they knew. I heard Johnny Bench the other day. I would have hit 700 if I knew what was coming. Well, if they knew what was coming all the time, you really failed. Because that meant that every single time you dropped a sign down, the Astros stole it and knew what was coming. And then they used this really incredibly sophisticated system of relaying the sounds by banging bats on garbage cans. I mean, come on. So, no, the shame is there. They better win another World Series, or most people won't think they won one, okay? But it's really gone overboard, really gone overboard. On my phone right now, there's this article from The Athletic that says, Astros, the cheatingest team ever. In a sport where somebody threw the freaking World Series! Are you kidding? Better calm down. We're in a public place, or people are going to start looking at me like, what's wrong with that?
It is Danny.
I'm already kind of trying to crawl under the table with how far you're going. Your points are all well taken. Can I give you some things to chew on?
Yes, absolutely.
Number one, the Astros' arrogance is a big part of the problem. What has kept it going. Their terrible apologies.
Terrible apologies when the first story started coming up about their culture of their team.
Oh, across the board, all of it,
right.
All of it. It has been found, and I think you're right about the likable nature of the Astros, and I think that's also what makes the reaction so severe. People feel robbed. I was robbed of thinking I was rooting for a good guy. I thought these were good guys, and they're crap. And so I'm doubly pissed because I used to say, oh, I really want the Astros to win instead of those damn Red Sox or Yankees. So people are now even more angry because they thought they were rooting for the good guys, and instead they were rooting for the bad guys. So they feel even more jilted.
Right, right. Right. You know, the Yankees are the evil empire. The Astros toppled them. 94% of America was probably rooting for the Astros to do so, and now they would have been rooting – double down. They would have been Yankee fans more than any time in the history of the franchise.
And so from that standpoint, I think that's why it's there. There's also the fact that they're not playing games. The timing has really sucked for them. I think there is a whole perfect storm here. So many different things that fueling it and blowing it up and making it bigger and bigger and bigger. Video of Altuve, whether he was hiding a buzzer or not, it's compelling video.
Or hiding a bad tattoo.
Yeah, it's compelling video. But I think just overall.
But I just want to interject. The one piece of video they constantly show is Altuve hitting the game-winning home run off of Aroldis Chapman.
Right.
What does Aroldis Chapman do? He throws one freaking fastball after another. one after another after another after another. You don't need a garbage can to know what's coming from Aroldis Chapman. I mean, he throws fastballs. That's what he does.
Right.
You just most of the time can't hit him.
I think also the mob mentality is at play here, right? We've got someone who's down, and I feel better about myself putting somebody else down. And they're down. Everybody agrees that what they did was wrong.
Yes.
And so I am going to be a champion of how about somebody just backed right into me? Yeah.
What? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, in a parking situation. It wasn't like
going slow. Go until you tap it.
I
do that.
I'll be taking a closer look at that during the break.
It was a member of the Houston Astros, clearly.
Sorry I was thrown for a minute, but.
Sure.
Rudy, do me a favor. You want to snag my phone and go take a photo of that license plate for me? I actually think I even know the guy. Never mind. I think he's going to come talk to us.
There you go.
I think. If I'm not sure, we'll see. We'll see. Anyway, let's see. You did it pretty good. You know, that's not every day you watch somebody just clock your car. All right, no, you didn't come over here. Go take a photo. Just in case, you know. Should
exactly.
Be okay, but just in case. Hit it pretty good.
Yeah, well, that was
sorry, that threw me.
Well, I would think so.
By the way, it's parked.
Yeah.
It's not like it jumped in front of him.
No, it didn't.
Do we need to
he
take
deserves.
A break?
I think I do.
Well, we probably have exhausted this topic anyway, and you're exhausted with it, I think.
No, I get it. I think there needs to be some people to calm the masses down, right? You know, I do think that needs to happen, but it's not going to be anybody from the Astros, right? They're
no.
just not going to have it.
No.
And there's no one else out there to do it. I do think when games are played, then people have real questions to ask at spring training. Well, you know, so-and-so got knocked around. You know, he's still thinking about him as a starter. And there's real work to be done.
Well, yeah, the other part is,
but I do
will
have,
we see what people have predicted that, you know, it's going to be a tower-buzzing festival
right.
against the Astros?
Well, that'll be the next wave of stories.
Right.
I think you know, listen, I think the bottom line is this. If the Astros played at a scale of 1 to 100 at a 92, and what it was going to take to win the World Series was an 88, along the course of the way, whether it was getting a home field advantage somewhere, whatever it was, did what they did elevate them from an 87 to a 92? That's the question, and we'll never know the answer.
Right.
It's a tainted World Series. You either are or are not going to take the World Series away. They're not.
Right.
They've said that. Mm-hmm. You either are or are not going to punish everyone involved. They punish the manager and the general manager and the organization with draft picks and a monetary fine. And then you move forward, and we debate whether they did or didn't do enough. Anyone who's not an Astro fan, they didn't do enough. I think you'd say, did they handle it? Are you okay with the punishment?
I have no problem with the punishment. In fact, I probably wouldn't have any problem if I would now, because it would be in reaction to all that's gone on. But if there was some punishment,
which is why I don't like Penn State having a lot of their penalties rescinded,
right,
was because years afterwards, when we're not thinking about the kids anymore, it sounded like it was a pretty harsh penalty. Yes, do you remember what we were talking about?
Right.
Right. And that after the fact, we're like, no, we're going to change the penalty. So I'm
but
with
I would,
you.
They
set the penalty and you live with it.
Right, and I don't think I'm going to be up in arms about, you know, if some players get some punishments, but they should have done it at the outset, and I don't think I would have had any objections with that. They broke rules. Are they rules that should warrant the same kind of suspension that leader of the organization and so on and so forth? God, I don't think so, but no, I'm completely at peace with what they did, and a little bit more wouldn't have made me angry either.
Yeah. No, but I do think it is kind of a sign of the times.
Yeah.
And you know.
And it's the first question that everybody was going to ask at every camp. And at the outset, every player was really willing to let it fly. And that's even Mike Trout, who never says anything.
I do think there is an element of, like, in boxing, you know, when we're going to have a big heavyweight fight, finally, first time in 40 years, seemingly. But, you know, the referee stands there and says, protect yourself at all times. There are rules on when to hit and when not to hit, but it's on you to protect yourself at all times. Now, I remember covering the Victor Ortiz fight with Floyd Mayweather. Casey Kidd really wanted to win. I actually think he was doing a hell of a job against Mayweather that night. And then he hit him low, and he felt bad, and he apologized like 19 times. And, like, the guy had said, fight, get your hands up and protect yourself. And Mayweather knocked him out. Protect yourself at all times. Well, you have signs. Protect yourself at all times.
Right.
I mean, you have signs because you think someone's trying to figure out what you're doing.
I know. And I can't believe that point hasn't been made. I mean, their coaches probably – you're fired. You're fired, man. Clayton Kershaw gave up five bombs or whatever he did in that one game. Figure it out.
How about this? Let me give you this.
I mean, Danny Duffy said in response to this that when they're playing the Red Sox, that, well, we knew something was afoot and we made adjustments.
And that's what the Royals pretty much across the board said. Mike Matheny talked about, yeah, word was out there. Duffy said, we were hearing things. Maybe we didn't understand it was to this degree. Alex Gordon said something like that to Lebo and I when we were down there and everybody else. It was a group gathering. I'm not acting like we went out for coffee and spun yarns about the Astros or anything. But, you know, he said that. And I think baseball did know. And I will buy, I don't know, that it mostly all happened in 17 because I think word got out. But can we agree that maybe the most reprehensible thing is death threats for Mike Fiers?
Oh, yeah. He should feel.
The guy who went and protected his teammates and said, listen, this is what these guys do.
And this guy, and he's a pitcher, too. And I'm sure he didn't like what was going on. And the pitching is a brotherhood as well. And now the people said, oh, what careers were ruined, and this might have been his only chance. Well, you should have done better, too. You and your catcher should have done better. But no, Mike Fiers should not be, people calling him a snitch and whatever. He has every right to do what he did. I don't have any venom for Mike Fiers, none.
David Ortiz, a guy who tested positive for PEDs, is calling him a snitch.
Well, and that's the other thing. People are saying it's worse than steroids. Come on. Now, that affects every single aspect, every single moment of your play as a baseball player. I mean, even if these things were, first of all, they got your sign. You blew it. You blew it. They figured out it was a fastball coming. You're supposed to be able to confuse them.
You know, there's nobody who has benefited more from the I've decided I'm going to like this guy. You know, I've picked my team and nothing will change my mind than David Ortiz.
No, I agree with that.
I'm not a David Ortiz fan.
I'm not a David Ortiz fan.
I'm not a David Ortiz fan.
Most people love Big Poppy.
He's got
a nice nickname.
I can't stand him because I can't stand how he gets a free pass. He was in the report as testing positive. Yet nobody wants to lambaste David Ortiz for at age 38 suddenly having a 50 home run season or whatever the hell happened.
Well, he played well till he was in his 40s.
Like 40s. Yeah. Like, and we don't think he was on anything. Come on. Oh, but he's Big Poppy. He's fun. He used the F word after the bombing at the marathon, and that's cool. That's when it's cool. It's cool to use the F word then. Shut up. Shut up. Finally, those who were maimed and died in a bombing are now it's okay. They'll rise, you know,
because
he dropped an F-bomb in Fenway right. Park. Shut up, shut up. That was not our defining moment as a nation. Big Poppy used an F word. Start breaking down. Shut up. So I don't.
Now you're unleashed.
Well, I'm not. I don't like how David Ortiz gets a free pass on all kinds of things.
Agreed.
I've decided he's America's sweetheart. Well, screw you. I think he's a cheating louse. We'll take a break.
Somebody with a gun thought he was.
I will run from that comment and tell you we are at Hen House. CBD American Shaman sparkling waters. You can try them before you buy them. 10 milligrams of nano hemp oil. You can check it out right now. Sparkling coconut water with grapefruit or the sparkling watermelon juice with strawberry lime. Two great flavors here at Hen House at 15,000 West 87th Street here in Lenexa. That's the street address if you want to GPS it. And they'll be doing from 11 to 3 tomorrow, having games, raffles, entertainment, be answering questions, educating folks about the benefits of CBD, and all day today while we're on the air at all CBD American Shamans. If you can hear us and there's a CBD American Shaman near you, then they are saving you 30%. That's in the metro area, because I know we have the stream and everything. So in the KC metro area, 30% off all their products at CBD American Shaman.
The program with Soren Petro.
Been doing that a few years.
Cool, long time.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, the good sense. End of the hour answer. Kansas has played the number one team in the nation in a true road game once in their history. Who did they play? They'll play it for the second time tomorrow when they play at Baylor.
Very good. Very good. I think that's a great idea. Good job. You're in the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Sorry, was checking out the Chinese buffet that is here. And, you know.
I abandoned
my post here at Hen House because I do love, like, it's like one price all you can put in your container.
That's a good deal.
I said,
now, that's a little bit different than my thought when I go to a Chinese buffet.
After Rudy and I get out of here, you may change how you do things here. But what an awesome deal. Hen House here in Lenexa. Come see us. CBD American Shaman, sparkling water. You can try both flavors.
That's true.
Today. Danny Klingscale, brought to you by Easton Roofing.
Mm-hmm. When I go to a Chinese buffet, I always find it comical when you'll pass by. My strategy at the buffet is to get a small amount of food first because I know I'm going to go back. It's too good, okay? But then you'll pass somebody and their plate, the food won't even fit on it. It's falling onto the table. And I'm like, dude.
Why do you feel a need to fat shame me all the time?
No,
I'm right here, Danny.
I'm fine.
I'm fine
with the person eating that much. It's a buffet. I mean, that's part of the, you know, you want to chow down, and I do too. But you can go back. You're allowed to go back.
I see.
So why do you have this much food so that you can't even maintain it on your plate?
I want to eat a lot and not move.
To maximize the haul per trip. It's just over excitement. Sensory overload. You mean I can have whatever I want? Whatever you want. Oh, my God. I don't know how to stop.
You see, here's how I usually handle it. If I'm going to intake a bunch of calories, I'd like to burn off as few as possible in the process.
Yeah, a little walk in the middle is not for me.
No.
If I'm not in a food coma before this plate is clean, then I haven't done my job.
Of course, I usually don't take the time and effort, and, well, because I'm usually probably gone by the time the first plate, to know whether they actually go back and repeat this gigantic haul again. I don't know that.
I could absolutely destroy the what are the noodles?
Lo mein.
I will destroy the lo mein. I will own it. It will be calling me its daddy by the time I'm done with the lo mein. All right, Danny Klingscale is with us. It's Danny Unleashed, brought to you by Easton Roofing here in the program. What are you saying to me, Jed? Come on. You know we weren't on the headset when we were supposed to be, all right? We failed miserably at doing our job. Don't try to be coy and just tell me what you need to tell me.
I would like for you to go back to Curtis so he can give the end of the hour answer.
Oh. Okay,
please.
I thought he'd already done that. I thought we were so late.
No, you started talking about Chinese food.
I assumed like when we weren't here, he would have just done his part.
I've worked with Curtis for 20 years. You know he can't fill. He just sat there and looked at me nervously.
I did the question. I'm thinking, are they there and waiting to start? So then I kind of went, yeah, they're going to do it again tomorrow. Thinking, is he there and just hasn't been potted up or what? So I gave you a little moment to jump in and You didn't.
All right, have at it, Curtis. Go for it.
Kansas has played the number one team in the nation in a true road game once in their history. Who did they play?
Wow.
OU or Mizzou?
Nope.
Is that year the three of them were all number one?
Nope.
I would say it's not Oklahoma or Missouri?
Nope.
Wow.
They've played the number one team in the nation 24 times.
Only once in a true road game?
Yep. Six were at Allen Fieldhouse, or six were at Lawrence.
Wouldn't it almost have to be Kentucky? Kentucky?
Mm-mm.
No?
No. I have a question. Is it a Big 12 team?
It is.
Or at least was when they played them.
K-State?
No. Boy, maybe. I guess way back.
Back in the day, that's what I was. But he didn't say I was right. So.
If Danny's right, then we'll call it off. If he's not, I'll take one guess.
March 10th, 1958 at right. Kansas State.
Good job, Danny.
They won.
That's a first.
Not really, but I'm not gonna. I'm not gonna tout my.
As an Astro fan, you get credit for nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
You know.
Period.
Anything positive you've done to help society is now forgotten.
Yeah, that's true.
Wiped off the books, and you are now a hated figure, no matter what.
Well, there's a lot of that going around.
Really. No, do tell.
Not really.
No, I know. By the way, playing for Good Sense, you can put your order in right now, pick what time you want to pick it up, and go grab it at GoodSenseSubs.com. Of course, you can do that on the app as well, and they'll be happy to deliver. They slice the meat right in front of you. Fresh meat. The meat's so much better. So much better. And, of course, the bread baked fresh twice each day, not because it's easy, because it tastes better. Grab you some Good Sense on your way home today. I don't remember the last weekend that we didn't make it to Good Sense at least once. So I'm sure probably after basketball tomorrow, we will be at Good Sense. So I will see you folks there at Good Sense, and I will order on my app, and I will take advantage of my 10% back on my loyalty club. You should as well. Danny, what were you saying about football? I know I think you want to talk basketball, but you had something about football like 3 weeks after the Super Bowl. What was your spiel?
Well, except for here in Kansas City where – We're getting a breakdown of each position group and everything else. I'm cool with that. Just wallow in your – but just hyper-fest football talk right after – 3 weeks after the Super Bowl is just not my speed. I mean, it's not. We had a wonderful season here in Kansas City. Championship magazines – article, more Chiefs coverage than Royals coverage when they're in spring training. Mm-hmm. Fine, all good. You know, you win a championship one every 50 years, I'm good. But nationally, it just shows how much the NFL rules. Some people can't, most people can't get enough. And, Mel Kiper's latest mock draft comes out. I mean, it's just not for me. I like, I can move on eventually. Here in Kansas City, hall pass. Around the country, of course, the only way that they've moved on in any way was the Astros, which I have already railed against.
By the way, I'd like to point out that the headset that Danny just went on is mine, and it is the cold and flu season.
Except I don't have the cold and flu or flu. In fact, I've never had the flu.
Rudy, could you head over to aisle 6 and get those sanitary wipes we're going to need when Danny takes those headphones off?
All right.
So you don't care about the 17th game or the extra playoff? That's like we should just not have a comment because the Super Bowl's over?
No, it's an interesting topic, but they're going to have an extra. I'm not surprised they're having an extra game. I don't think people love football so much that extra playoff action is going to be accepted. Frankly, the NFL and the Players Association, if they agreed on the fact that the sun wasn't going to come up tomorrow, the entire public would go, oh, goody, nighttime, 24/7, 365. I love it. So we're going to have that. It'll be fine. Triple headers of playoff action on, the Saturday and Sunday. Gobble, gobble. The insatiable appetite. One thing I do find a little...
Is there a negative of any kind? Besides the potential for more injury. But that's inherent in the game.
Once
you decide we're going to play football, I don't want to hear about what guys can get hurt.
They're
playing football. Like that, we've gone past worrying about their brains.
And also, if they sign off on it, what am I supposed to do? I can't, you know, you
That's
decided
right.
that money was more important than playing another football game. So, you know, shut up. I mean, give up something else and fight for that if it really matters to you. But they're apparently not going to. So I can't. I think it is too much football for a human being, I think. 17 games, that's a lot of games.
Well, plus three preseason games and potentially four playoff
games. And let's face it, you know, you're replacing a game of real action where the regulars play all the time to a game where they likely hardly played at all.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, it's more football. That's the only negative. By the way, one thing in passing. I do appreciate the xenophobia, and I must probably have heard five people say this at least, of saying that.
Did they use that word?
No, they didn't.
Define it for people like me who don't know what
people
it means.
People who don't like the show Xena Warrior Princess.
People who have a phobia of Zenith televisions?
Xenophobe.
No, it's spelled with an X, too. But it's people who think that basically it's people who are completely caught up in America, that America is the center of the universe, and they don't realize that there's things outside it. I've heard many people say that winning the Super Bowl is the greatest thing in sports, period. Well, it's not. Winning the World Cup is definitely the biggest thing in sports, okay? The Super Bowl is watched by one-tenth of the people who watched the World Cup final. So shut up. Is it the biggest thing in America? By leaps and bounds, and add leaps and bounds to the 10th power. Yes, the greatest thing in American sports. But there are sports that are played outside of America, and one of them is the most popular in the world. Far and away more popular than NFL football.
From a quantity of people.
Right.
But football is the most popular with the people that matter. Us.
Right. No
Therefore,
question.
It's number one.
It's number one.
I think that's the opinion. No. We matter more than those other people, Danny.
Well, I think that's part of
Europe, South America, Africa, Asia, they don't matter as much as we do as Americans. Therefore, since it's number one with us, it's number one worldwide. Because if we like it best, it can't possibly not be.
Well, I think one of the things,
we call
great
our
things about
the championship, the World Series. Come on now.
By the way, hashtag sarcasm.
Yes. But also, nobody officially calls the team that wins the baseball championship the world champions anymore.
Sure they do.
No, they call them the World Series
champions.
Yeah,
okay.
They do, which is different than it used to be. They used to call them the world champions. And frankly, they have every right to call them the world champions because it is easily the best league in the world, and you won it. So they are the world champions in my mind. I don't have any problem saying that. But winning the NFL football championship in this country, there's nothing even close. Nothing close. And we're seeing that here in Kansas City.
Okay, so can I get back to my question?
Yeah.
What negative is there?
Just the one we talked about. I don't mind the extra playoff football. It's still a percentage.
What is it? I don't know. What did we talk about? I haven't heard the negative yet.
Just the player, you know, playing an extra football game, the physical aspect.
But once you decide you're going to play football, like boxing a lot, boxing once is a bad idea.
Right. Well, I agree. So that's.
But once you say we're going to do it,
so
then that's not an argument.
So then, and I said they signed off on it, so there's sympathies out the window, and
that's right.
It's the only. I don't see any real negative to it. Do I think that there's, you know, that in a perfect world is creating a regular season is a regular season of accomplishment and rewarding it a little bit more better for me.
So you're talking about the playoffs?
Yeah.
So
is it better for me? Yes. For instance, I'd like to see a structure in baseball where, you know, if they expanded, that they'd have four team divisions and you just had to win the division to make the playoffs. And sure, there'd be flaws with it. It'd suck in some regards.
Well, that wouldn't be expanding the playoffs. That would be contracting them.
No, I'm just saying I think winning something in the regular season, you
right.
should be right. And now the only thing you can do is win the number one seed. Now it makes being the best team in the conference really, really important.
Is what's better, should fans be interested in what's best for their team or another team? Their team, right?
I guess.
If you have a 30-team league and for 20 teams on a case-by-case basis, it's better for them. Does that make it better for the league?
I guess. You know,
then expanding the baseball playoffs is a good idea.
I said that I wasn't, you know, but I like first place in a regular season to have some reward. And the more you expand the playoffs, the less that becomes the case.
Home field.
Right. And in baseball, it's less important. In football, in a one-off game, it's more important.
The part that I think is not getting discussed in football and in baseball with the playoff expansion and all that kind of thing is the fact that coming right behind it is expansion of more teams. I think that's coming to both sports. Number one, they've done nothing but expand.
By the way, I thought of this the other day.
And I think if we are going to 14 playoff teams in baseball and 14 in football on our way to 16, which I think we are, and the quantity of teams goes from 32 to 40 over the next 30 or 40 years, then it makes sense where we're going.
Well, they probably will expand the playoffs even more then. But I thought about this the other day, and I'm like, why haven't I expressed this or thought of it? Aren't we astounded that the National Football, how long has it been since they expanded?
I mean, 95. It's long overdue. They've been trying
stunning.
To. They're long overdue. They wanted to figure out the stadium in L.A. They have been trying to figure out the Raiders, and nothing was going to get done until they figured out the Raiders, Chargers, and the L.A. market.
And to the point
and
we
they're
just
now done,
right?
And I now believe expansion's coming right behind it.
And to the point we just made, screw playing over in England. I mean, forget that.
That's coming.
I mean, I don't think it's coming.
I do.
Anyway, we'll disagree with that until it happens.
Well, you don't think it's coming because you don't like the idea of it. I think it's coming.
No, I don't have any issue with
it. I think it's coming because people I know who sit in the owners' meetings tell me it's coming.
Right. Well, I think it's about what I'm saying. I think it's a bad idea. Why not? This is America. People love football here. Give them more here. No, you don't need it over there.
Well, I think you need markets that can support it financially and grow the game financially. Well, what do you want, a team in Topeka?
No, but you don't think you mentioned 40, or you don't think, well, maybe 10's a lot, but.
No, that'd be expanding the NFL by eight.
By eight. There's eight cities in this country that could handle NFL football. Portland, Sacramento. I mean, I name any big Orlando.
If Portland and Charlotte are the next two baseball teams, obviously there's already football in Charlotte. But I don't think Portland can handle baseball, basketball, and football.
Yeah, but that matters little to the NFL because they will support football. That's what I'm saying.
Well,
they'll kill the Blazers, but they'll support the football team. San Antonio.
Football has not killed the Suns. The Suns are still top dog in Phoenix. Now, maybe it's because the Cardinals haven't been good enough, but they talk Suns basketball all the time out there. And they suck, by the way.
But it's not like the Cardinals have failed.
No. And I don't think the football would fail in Portland. But I
don't think football would fail in. Where, name a place where it would fail.
St. Louis?
I don't know.
I would go back there, but it's failed twice.
Well, it's failed to an extent that somebody decided to move the team.
Yeah, that's failure. I mean, how else would you define it?
Well, I think if
it's not still there.
If you had the right ownership and things were handled well by the ownership, I think St. Louis would still have a football team.
And they don't.
Right.
Twice.
I'm just saying that.
This is my point. I think it's important. I know what you're saying. If you had an owner that was beloved and would work with the community and do a better job and maybe pay a little bit more for the stadium, they probably would have built them a new stadium and the Rams would still be in St. Louis. That's great, but they didn't and they don't. And that's my point. I think it's important to talk in real terms. Not like, well, it should still be in St. Louis. No shoulds. It's not.
Right. And they weren't willing to do anything in their powers to keep football there. Yes.
Listen,
yes, you were correct.
I had an off-the-record conversation with John Sherman of the Royals. Now, I say that because I want to be clear, nothing of note was really discussed. Right? There was no, by the way, here's my plan. We're going to a $400 million payroll next year. Right? Nothing of that. It was just kind of he came over, he saw Todd and I. We're wearing 8-10 shirts. He knew who we were. And we chatted for a little bit. And he jokingly said, you know, this is off the record. I said, yes, this is all off the record. We really were discussing nothing of relative importance, other than Todd and I and him talking about the importance of our sports teams in Kansas City, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, he even said, I don't think he would mind me sharing this. I said it was off the record, but we joked about it being off the record in the sense that, like, we're not really saying anything. And Mike Swanson came up, and Swanson's like, well, you know. But one of the things Mr. Sherman said was, I've really been amazed at how many people came up to me and said, thank you for buying the team,
right,
and keeping it here. And thank you for your local ownership. And that's the kind of thing we were talking about, how great it is, how excited all of us are, Todd and I are, and everybody in this town, that we've got an owner in Kansas City. And that we're appreciative of what Mr. Glass did keeping baseball here. And, you know, I said, listen, even during renovations, the Glass family and the Hunt family never came to the town and said, build it or else we're leaving to L.A. And I said at that time, and I got laughed at by some people in our own building, when I said the team to really worry about is the Chiefs, because L.A. is waiting and they're talking about the stadium right now. I don't know where the baseball team would go. Now, that's different this time around because now we're talking about towns. But when they were doing that, the Royals had nowhere to go.
Right?
The Chiefs did. Yet the Hunt family did not hold the city hostage and did not threaten that, nor did the Glass family. And I respect that and I appreciate that. And I told that story to Mr. Sherman. And the reason I think it's important to define what happened in St. Louis, St. Louis failed. If you don't want an NFL team, or if you don't want to, let me put it this way, if you don't want to build an NFL building and you're under market 7 or 8 and you don't want to build at all, then don't get in the business. And don't whine about the owner screwing you. Listen, was he the best owner ever? No. Did he have St. Louis in mind, first and foremost? Fifth? Tenth in mind? No, he didn't. But if you want the NFL, you sell your soul,
right,
as a community to the NFL. And we in Kansas City need to be ready to sell our soul. The Chiefs are important to what we do. Our quality of life this year was better because we had a Super Bowl run. There's no doubt about it. And when it comes time, either Jackson County, Kansas City, Missouri, Kansas City, Kansas, whatever municipality, state of Missouri, you better be ready to open your wallet and pay for it. And that's just it. I think it's important to know that St. Louis failed and to look at it as a failure so that you do not allow yourself to think that, like they don't get a, well, they're a pretty good guy award, so we're going to play 6 games over there. No, it's gone.
Right.
The NFL is gone. They didn't give the man who owned the team what he wanted, and it's gone. And they don't have NFL football. And so I don't think they're itching to go back to St. Louis.
Oh, I don't think they're itching either.
I think it's a market that absolutely could handle football. But they failed.
True.
Okay. What were you saying, Kay?
No, I think you kind of, we're hitting a break here, but I think you kind of said that at the end. It would surprise me if a team that is now has a 6-year run in the National League of being second in the NL, only the Dodgers in attendance, 3.5 million every year, that there's something intrinsically wrong with the town or the fans of that town that they couldn't support a football team. But I don't think that's exactly you were saying anyway.
I think part of what's intrinsically wrong is the Cardinals, screw you, we got the Cardinals. And right, that was a bad mentality to have.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And the Cardinals are, it is a market now, where the Cardinals are, where baseball is.
I'm going to tell you, by all accounts, the people I talk to around the NFL and around the state of Missouri tell me the Chiefs are going to be, football fans in Kansas City are going to be a benefactor of that. Because what I hear is there is no way the state of Missouri will lose a second NFL team. So when the Chiefs and Royals get ready for the next stadium build, the state of Missouri is going to drop trow and say, whatever you boys want, because we're not going to be the doofuses who lose a second NFL team. So sure. I think that will benefit the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. And I don't think the Chiefs will be in Kansas. I think they'll be in Missouri for that reason.
I agree.
We'll take a break. Talk KUBU. That's Baylor.
Ooh,
next.
Not Boston University.
The Program with Soren Petro.
I do have better command of the language and nuances and inflections than you.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You're in the Program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Danny Unleashed, brought to you by Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing, integrity, it matters. Go to eastonroofing.com right now or call 913-257-5426. Easton Roofing, repairs, yes. No payment collected. Mattel, you're 100% satisfied. Commercial and residential roofing, project manager on every site. That is Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing, integrity matters. Go to eastonroofing.com. Danny, Kansas and Baylor, who wins?
I think Baylor's going to win. I think
really?
The general feeling around here is that Kansas is going to win now.
Because that's what Kansas does.
That is what they do.
Just ask T.J. Cullen. All they do is win, win, win.
But they didn't win it last year. I think that there's a little bit of – you want to feel positive about the last two games that they've done a lot of scoring because why wouldn't you? But the big reason for it in each game was three-point shooting by an individual who shoots less than 30% from three-point range. Baylor hasn't scored, you know, hasn't given up points to about anybody. So in a grinder, I'll lean toward the home team that hasn't lost a game in forever.
Yeah,
the slightest lean, but
I won't argue it. I know Kansas didn't win it last year, but I'll lean to the team that's been in more of those battles, that has the pedigree, that has the coach that's won more of those battles. So I'll lean to Kansas. I think it's going to be a good game. I think it's going to be a good fight. I'm with you on the three-point shooting, but they kind of seem to be finding a guy each night. They've got enough guys that if they can get a couple of them going, and there's two that are pretty good shooters, Moss and Brown.
Right. And maybe they get past the stretch when they were just hitting three or four a night.
Right, so yeah. One of two of those guys ought to be hitting it, and then if one other guy can have a night, that doesn't seem like too much to ask for. I also think the other teams out there aren't as good. The line's further back, so it's harder for everybody. When you look at Garrett's shot, when you look at Dotson's shot, those are the two guys you're referring to the last couple of games. Do you see guys who ought to be making it?
Garrett's got a long enough track record that I'll say no. Dotson looks like he should shoot better, and he's a really good free throw shooter. So,
right.
I mean, I would say that he probably, in the long term, he should shoot better. But
yes.
But
he's
Garrett,
the one
has shot, Garrett has shot in the 20s every single year for 4 years. So that's enough evidence for me.
I'm of the mindset that Dotson, if he shot 40% the rest of the way, that's not stunning. Right? It's like he was cold first half, he's hot second half. He looks like he ought to be a better shooter. I'm with you, Garrett. Listen, if you're wide open, let it fly. You got to take it.
Right.
But otherwise,
should be a great game, and I'd be stunned if it got out of the 60s.
Okay. We'll find out, Danny.
All right.
Good stuff, buddy.
Thank you,
man. Go home.
All right.
It's the Jazz End of the Hour Question on the Half Show. Sponsored by Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen.
Laissez le bon temps rouler.
All right, since 1980, two Hall of Famers have both played and managed the same franchise. Name either one. Brought to you by Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen.